All right, we have our answer. We were talking in the opening segments. Welcome back into Mornings with Sharp and Hanley. Jimmy is here as well. Whatever happened to raising the roof?
Yeah. What happened to it?
You know what I used to do back in the 90s? Because there were a lot of guys would do this with Nebraska football. The guys that belonged to that fraternity, the Q-Dog.
The Q-Dog?
Yeah, the Q-Dog.
Okay. So that was the unofficial?
Oh, yeah.
I didn't know that that was specific to a fraternity, so I would play intramural football, and we'd score, and I'd do that. Someone goes, no.
Give us the handshake.
But they raised the roof has completely disappeared. Instead, it's look into the crowd and get the F up. A surprise here. The Lego Maniac fires off a couple of emails.
The one was pretty funny, I guess.
Rick Mass did that after one dunk this year.
his one dunk. You mentioned this the other day, and I think we need to make this happen. Let's get those two in a room together.
That ain't gonna happen.
let's credential Lego Maniac and let him interview Rick.
What's
Mass.
Rick Mass gonna do?
I don't know. I feel like he's coming back, but
go to the spring game.
You're right about the possibility of making some money overseas, playing basketball overseas. I'd like to think he's coming back.
I think it would be under the category of the Eli Rice when you say surprised.
Yeah.
But I don't know. He will have opportunities.
It was interesting.
Nebraska definitely wants him back. One more from the Lego Maniac in the Equitable Bank inbox, where they take banking personally. Bad take Doug has not chimed in yet today.
Not yet.
Sure.
Well, we didn't read his takes yesterday.
If that bridge was stronger, it would have stood. Caitlin Clark hasn't had an offensive possession all season where she hasn't pushed the defender with her off arm. It's criminal that refs let her get away with that all game, every game. She would foul out from offensive fouls in the first quarter of every game if the refs called the game correctly.
Well, there's a couple problems there. First of all, we've talked about this. So going all the way back to the national championship game of the officiating issues that you see in women's college basketball as far as getting consistency. There's a handful of players, you see this in the men's game too, that are going to be officiated a certain way. And to Caitlin Clark, even maybe not always up to her satisfaction of the way that the game is being officiated and what she feels that she should either get away with or get called against her, but they're not going to squeeze her.
It's bad for business to have 22 on the sidelines.
Absolutely. They're not going to squeeze her.
Money rules the world.
Absolutely.
Ask Otani.
Uh-huh. That was uncomfortable yesterday. Can I ask a question about that real quickly?
Is it in Japanese?
No.
Because I think it would have been better yesterday if one of the American reporters knows Japanese and would have called out Otani. Nope, you said you bet on baseball. That's what you said.
my whole thing was, there were a few moments where he appeared to get kind of emotional, not all crying, but there was a hint of it. Is there a sympathy because, first of all, there is the language barrier, so we don't know the exact tone of what is being said, or that Otani does when he talks, obviously in a different language, and I'm being totally honest here, I know this sounds completely ridiculous, when he talks in a different language, the fact that we don't understand it, like, it even comes across as more of a sympathetic figure. It's weird. I found myself thinking that because it's like a soft tone.
I think people like Otani, and I think they want to believe Otani.
I agree.
But that was a speech yesterday.
It was.
That was a 12-minute speech prepared by PR people that kind of raised more questions.
I agree.
Because I don't know if I'm his former interpreter, and you're looking at serious jail time.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know how good of a friend I would be.
Right.
So this is far from over. Maybe one of the better things that happened yesterday was that Pete Rose got on camera. Someone was at a casino in Vegas. I don't think it's the place where he's holed up. He still signs autographs.
Yeah.
Which is, you ever walk by that in Vegas and you're like, oh, that's the Hit King. he said, if only I had an interpreter back in the 70s and 80s. I was like, that's great. Pete keep living your best life.
Just keep being you, Pete.
All right, so yesterday, Creighton went back to work in the preparation for the game on Friday night against Tennessee. You're going to the game in Detroit. Tickets because Purdue is so close. Mackey Arena is only about 240 miles away from downtown Detroit. They have jacked up the prices. So it's an expensive ticket to get into the regional. But Creighton went back to practice yesterday. Light practice. They'll go a lot harder today. We'll get the full practice breakdown from Steve Merfeld. He'll join us at 8:30. But as the media were assembled yesterday, so was a guy that went into the portal about this time last week. So Frankie Fiddler was at practice yesterday at Creighton.
Misses basketball.
I think he will be there again today to watch practice, have a conversation with Mac. Most recently, Kentucky has reached out, which I think for Frankie would be fantastic because he's one of the few people I know from Bellevue that has a Southern accent.
So he'll fit in.
Like, what parts of Kentucky are you from? Bellevue.
Like Sweet Lou, his brother? Like, they don't have like the same accent.
Right.
Is that like Lou's got a different accent as well.
Is it like Creole?
I'm like, what is going on in Bellevue where you guys live?
I told you guys, though. It is south of the metro.
But I'm like, Frankie, how do you have a Southern accent? But Kentucky is the latest to reach out to him. But there is a little bit, and the other running mate in high school. So two of the three T-Birds are in the portal because William Kyle III went to the portal yesterday from South Dakota State. He just strikes me as a Iowa State guy.
Yeah.
Trey King's leaving. Strikes me as the guy that could fill in there. They got a commitment yesterday from a Charlotte transfer who looks like what Iowa State post players look like. Vicious. So watch Iowa State there. So Frankie is still managing the waters after a week in the portal. And also remember, he put his name in for the NBA draft. Interesting twist here. So two of the three T-Birds are in the portal. The other one is still at Wisconsin, Checky Hepburn. I would think by the end of the week, there will be a staying or going from Chucky. You know, there's a speculation everywhere. I'm sure Dad, who is out in the community, gets asked about it a lot and is probably sick and tired of, you know, trying to field those questions, be nice about it. Everybody wants to know, hey, what's your son going to do?
Yeah.
Is he going to come to Nebraska? But I think by the end of the week, you'll know either he's going to stay in Madison to finish his college career or explore opportunities. But I do find it interesting that Wisconsin is trying to set up an official visit with Frankie. I don't think he goes to Wisconsin if his best friend is not there.
Yeah.
I just found that interesting. But I think Frankie's back at to observe practice again today. You know, Creighton reached out. He reached back out to him. They said, come to a practice and, you know, having a conversation with Mac. But, yep, he was at practice yesterday.
When we were talking yesterday about the post players and what Nebraska kind of lacks and what it could use, and I was talking about the profile of player like a Dane Danger, who plays a lot bigger than he is, you know, at 6'9". It was the one thing that, as I was talking about him yesterday, in the back of my mind, I'm thinking about William Kyle III, because in the most recent game that I saw him in that game against Omaha at Baxter Arena, his energy level, but both defensively and offensively, it stood out. Now, mind you, I understand the competition compared to what you would see in the Big Ten or wherever he would go. And you're right about Iowa State, too. He just, whether it was Fred's squad or now what you have with TJ Alsberger, he feels like that type of player that they could utilize, his athleticism. But gosh dang, Nebraska could use a player like that. That would be a major presence inside for Nebraska to utilize what I think they miss in that ass kicker, but that overall athlete inside that try to match that energy level. And you've seen him way more than I have too, but
he's got a chance to be a pro.
For a team where you had Frankie Fiddler and you had Zeke Mayo in that game, he was the one to me that stood out the most in that particular game. Now, I know there's been other nights where, you know, Zeke took over and obviously Omaha pretty much almost every night Frankie Fiddler is going to steal the show, but that night that I was watching him, his athleticism and just you knew where he was everywhere on the court, and good on South Dakota State, and obviously always having him involved, but that to me didn't look like a player that, it's South Dakota State. It's the Summit League. Now, that looked like that would translate in the Power Six.
Yeah, he, you know, credit, and I'm sure that part of my body is going to hurt here in a bit. I'm about to say something nice about South Dakota State. They do a really good job at developing players. And from where he was as a freshman to a sophomore, actually from his time under Doug Woodard at Bellevue West to where he was as a freshman, there wasn't much difference. But his jump from freshman to sophomore year was pretty impressive. Physically, he started to mature. He became a focus of the offense. He became even more of a dominant finisher at the rim. Vicious dunks. But he also became a smarter person to block shots.
Yeah.
And then the other thing that took off this year is he became a pretty good passer, because that was his freshman year. Man, there was a 50-50 chance that I'm doing a Omaha South Dakota State game and Bill might pass me the ball. But he got better in that. So his game has continued to grow.
Yeah.
And I think playing against high-level competition on a nightly basis where it challenges him to continue to grow his game, will work out well for him. So he'll have options, but man, he can get off the floor. He's going to be a pro. Now, there's the other part that I wonder if the next phase of where he plays, he has got one of the oddest free throw forms.
Oh, yeah.
It like is the push, shot put.
Yeah, the push-up.
So, Sean Marion.
He's about a 63-64% free throw shooter. So I'll be interested in anybody messes with that. But he's going to have options. William Kyle III is going to play pro basketball somewhere.
Oh.
I mean, he
wouldn't surprise me.
He's going to play pro basketball in this country. You know, I think if he gets into the G League, it's a great opportunity to develop. He just needs somebody to take a chance on him. But I think like a Grant Nelson, who went from North Dakota State to Alabama, didn't need to be the number one option on Alabama's roster. I mean, that's Sears. But he's been able to develop his game because he's playing against high-level competition every night. And look what you're going to see in July, what the NBA scouts think of Grant Nelson. Mm-hmm. That's kind of how I see William Kyle III. I don't think he'll ever be the focus of an offense. Now, if he would stay in Brookings, probably because Zeke Mayo is going to leave. But going somewhere where he can play against 6'9", 6'10", guys that jump like you do,
yeah,
I think will raise his stock. And then the NBA scouts who have any, I don't know, they'll go, okay, we've seen enough. Just like they will with Grant Nelson.
Right.
You know, the nearly 7-footer who, you know, played against Creighton earlier this year from Alabama and is still in the Sweet 16.
When you mention Grant Nelson, and I know Frankie Fiddler isn't the same type of player, obviously not nearly as long, but is that kind of the similar trajectory we could see Frankie on too? Is getting with whoever it is, he's not going to be the main guy, might not even be the second guy, but a guy that's going to give you, 9-11 a night, possibly, and then you're looking at what his, I guess maybe the better question is, what is his game in search of right now?
Well, he's in search of playing time. He played 35 minutes a game at Omaha.
Yeah.
He wants to play. I think there's probably going to be some Power Six schools that are going to say, here's what we see you as. We see you as a sixth man. Are you okay with that? It'll be playing time and money.
Yeah.
And again, these kids are in the portal. You can't overlook that money is a factor. You could say, oh man, they just want to prove their game. Money's a factor.
Yeah.
But in Frankie's case, playing time. And then he wants to go to the NCAA tournament. Mm-hmm. All fair. Yeah. All fair. Not guaranteed. You know, only one of those would be guaranteed if he stayed at Omaha.
Yeah.
That would be playing time.
All right.
Jamie's got an update coming up next. Sam McEwen, bottom of the hour again. Nebraska introduces officially their athletic director today. Troy Dannon will meet Husker Nation. He will meet the media. And we get another fancy press conference. We don't go to the sixth floor for this.
Yeah.
We get to go to the special floor
at
Memorial Stadium.
Mm-hmm.
Now, ain't no Matt Rhule. They have a whole championship center for Matt Rhule.
Yeah, well, only very few get that one. But
dress up, maybe take a
shower.
But
still, when you're not on the sixth floor, though, that's still not shabby. That still means you're somebody. This is a big deal. Only very, very few can actually pull off the championship center.
I'll tell you who else will be very excited today, Chris Kaepernick. I hope he gets asked some questions.
Yeah.
He has navigated the waters here in the last couple of weeks. All right, update with Jimmy coming up next. Also, a little bit later, Tim Kruger stops by. We'll dive more into Tennessee and Creighton. The matchup that will determine that game on Friday night. We'll peel back the layers on that with Tim Kruger. Also, Steve Merfeld and Brian Christopherson all to come on this Tuesday edition of Mornings with Sharp and Hanley on 1620 The Zone.